Just a warning, we're going to be talking about hunting and animal trophies in this episode, and if it's not for you, you can scroll back through our feed for something else.
We go out hunting because we really enjoy hunting. I don't think that any hunter goes out to say, I want to help conservation today. But of course, we wouldn't do this unless conservation worked, because we need our hunting to be sustainable. Meaning that we can do the same next year. Our children will be able to do the same in the future.
Now, these are the views of Jens Orlik Kirk. He works for a Scandinavian hunting association, but has hunted in Africa more than 40 times. We've been speaking to him because on this episode, we're looking at trophy hunting. MPs have already voted to ban trophy hunting imports in Britain, and the bill is passing through the Lords. It was part of the government's election manifesto in 2019 and is a cause taken up by loads of celebrities, including Ricky Gervais and Joanna Lumley, who say hunted animals need protecting. But conservationists in some African communities say the revenue they get from trophy hunting is important to support the work they do. I'm Leah Belletto, and this is the Sky News Daily. Later, we'll hear from wildlife conservation professor Amy Dickman, as well as the MP behind the import ban, and more from Hunter Jens. But first, to one part of Africa, Namibia, to hear about what's happening to protect animal species there.
On these lands, you find what we call the big mammals, which is elephants, you know, lions, cheetahs, leopards. They live mostly outside of protected areas, which is our national parks. You cannot have these animals without having forest. So these things go hand in hand, so you need to look after both of them.
Maxi Pialui is a community leader in Namibia working in conservation.
Hi, Leah. Nice to meet you.
Yeah, you too. It's looking really sunny there in Namibia.
I'm in the middle of a town called Rundu, so which is in the northeast of Namibia. I have lots of trees where I am now, but Namibia is a very contrasting country. So in the northeast, it's a savanna. And then I'm overlooking the Kavango River, which is a lifeline for our local people. I manage a network of what we call civil society organizations, and we support communities in rural Namibia that are actually looking after wildlife. So what we try to do is to create opportunities and tools for them to be able to manage those resources very sustainably on those lands.
And Maxi, how concerned are you about the decline in animal populations in Namibia?
I was concerned in the 70s and the 80s when I was growing up because there was nothing left. And then over the years, we have grown those animals. In the 80s, for instance, our population in terms of elephant numbers was around 7,000. And that now, with a lot of the population censuses that we have been doing over the past 2 years, that has increased. Over 24,000 or more elephants that are moving around now. That is a number that I think as a country we can be very proud of. We have created a model, a conservation model, that actually has increased wildlife in the areas in Namibia where I am, even to such a level where that we brought, you know, species that were close to extinction back. One of them is the black rhino. It's actually flourishing very well. Poaching, for me, that is one of the areas that I think we need to pay more attention to. We should also be concentrating more on habitat loss, because I sit here, I look over these plains, and I can see that a lot of trees have gone, and our wildlife need those trees.
The World Wildlife Fund estimates around 11,000 rhinos were poached in Africa between 2008 and 2021. The black rhino remains on the critically endangered animals list, but in Namibia and South Africa, where trophy hunting is regulated, numbers have been increasing in recent years. So, Maxi, how important would you say trophy hunting is for the communities you work with?
It's a pillar in terms of income that is generated for our GDP. It's the third largest in terms of making that contribution. Those pounds coming in, they contribute quite heavily to some of the work that we're doing to try and conserve wildlife in those areas, but also making sure there is motivation for people to manage those resources.
What do you personally think of hunting groups?
Trophy hunting is not something that is very foreign to Africans and other nations, and especially indigenous communities. That is something that has always been done in our communities. Where it became very negative for me, it's when it was overused. But now we are using it very much sustainably, and it's yielding really good profits, and it's a good model for us.
The amount of revenue communities working in conservation get from hunting groups isn't clear, because we're told it varies. But people will pay hundreds of thousands of dollars for a license to hunt the critically endangered black rhino. The hunter we heard from earlier, Jens Ulrik Krook, doesn't have that kind of money, but he's been to Africa many times.
I have a set of moose horns from Kamchatka because they are impressive. I actually think they look nice. I had a heck of a trip to Kamchatka in 2014 during the winter time. It was just a great experience. And it was a souvenir to bring back from that, just as all the photos I took and everything. But then on the other hand, I've been to Africa maybe 40 plus times hunting, and I think I have 3 or 4 so-called hunting trophies from Africa out of hundreds and hundreds of hunts that I've participated in. To me, it's all just hunting. It's all just recreational hunting. And we do basically exactly the same when we hunt here in Europe as when we hunt in Africa. There's always a land user somewhere who is interested in wildlife management, which is a big part of this. There's always a land user who's interested in some income. There's always some local job opportunities arising from this. The meat is always utilized. All these things are exactly the same.
No one shot is perfect. It could leave an animal wounded. So there's those issues around it that are problematic, I suppose, also.
Wounding an animal is a concern with all hunting. Wounding an animal is a concern when we cull red deer in the Scottish Highlands, always. And of course, that's something that hunters need to educate themselves for, and they do.
Jens, you've been hunting since you were 15. Have you ever felt a sense of guilt? And is it about conservation or sport for you?
I think for most hunters, myself included, we go out hunting because we really enjoy hunting. I don't think that any hunter goes out to say, I want to help conservation today. But of course, we wouldn't do this unless this conservation worked, because we need our hunting to be sustainable, meaning that we can do the same next year. Our children will be able to do the same in the future and so on. And if it's not sustainable, there's no future for hunting, because we need strong populations in strong natural habitat. And that's why there's no hunting without conservation. It's simply not going to work.
You do care about conservation. That's clear. Why not just give the money that you have for those hunts directly to conservation charities?
Because we like to hunt. As I say, we are recreational hunters because we enjoy participating in that local wildlife management in that manner. It's a mental challenge, it's a physical challenge. We get to see nature in all kinds of different ways that non-hunters don't. So we are motivated by our passion for the hunt. We get this question a lot. Why don't you just give the money? It's for the same reason that everybody else doesn't give a lot of money. Why don't the photo safari tourists just donate all the money that a photo safari costs and watch the wildlife on Discovery Channel? They would spare the atmosphere for a lot of jet fuel going back and forth. People pursue their passion.
So there is nothing, is there, that would persuade you to put the guns down and stop hunting?
One thing would, if I learned that some sort of hunting were damaging for the wildlife and damaging for the populations and the natural habitat, I would advocate to stop that kind of hunting immediately. We do not want to damage the foundation of our future passion at any cost.
There are some people, Jens, that will say, actually, what you do is distasteful. They see those pictures of someone standing over a lion or a black rhino that's been shot, and those pictures are plastered on newspapers or online, and that's problematic. What would you say to those people?
I would say that I do understand how people can see these pictures as problematic. Typically, what I experience is that they do not really know the whole story behind this. It's very counterintuitive to understand that hunting is beneficial for, say, the black rhino population, because the black rhino is listed as critically endangered. But in fact, the only two countries in the world that has a rising population of black rhino is Namibia and South Africa.
Doesn't there need to be a concerted effort from hunters not to promote these pictures that look striking and that are very upsetting to people who love animals?
That would definitely be very, very helpful to practical conservation efforts all over the world if we in the hunting community were able to educate our own a little bit better, not to confuse everything with these very provocative images.
So would you say then to the hunting community, stop posting these images?
Where it goes wrong is that you see this picture of this heavyweight guy smiling, grinning behind a dead lion, but you do not see the whole background story.
Up to 90% of people, according to many opinion polls, say that they no longer want to have hunting trophies, so body parts from endangered species, imported into this country just for some sort of sick display.
Henry Smith is the Conservative MP behind the bill to ban trophy hunting imports in Britain.
I think we've moved on perhaps from the era of big game hunting that might have been popular 100, 200 years ago. And this is an issue that people rightly care about, because these are endangered species, which if we don't act more now, we could see the end of some iconic animals like elephant or polar bears.
I've spoken to African community leaders who claim their voices aren't being heard, and they say some of the revenue from trophy huntings used for conservation jobs, security to stop poaching, and without it, animal populations could be at risk.
We're not telling countries in Africa how to run their conservation efforts. I might have a personal view on that, but that's not what this bill does. This also extends to all endangered species as listed internationally. So that also includes polar bears. So the idea that we're telling, for example, the Canadians how to run their conservation, that's also not what we're doing. This is a bill saying we choose not to import the body parts of endangered species into this country. I'd say there's very little evidence to suggest that fees from hunting trophies go back into African communities. This is a neo-colonial sport. This was introduced by Europeans when they colonized Africa a couple of hundred years ago. If an animal is endangered and on the brink of extinction, then it seems very strange to me that you would kill that animal to conserve that animal. There is big money in the trophy hunting industry. Safari Club International, these are lobby groups that are interested in preserving the trophy hunting industry. This really is something that I think we should consign to the history books. Often it's not a clean kill. Often it takes many hours or even a day for an animal to die in agony.
When Henry Smith put forward his private members' bill last year to stop the body parts of endangered animals being brought into Britain, not everyone agreed with it. A global environmental network made up of governments and civil society organisations published an open letter warning against a blanket ban. And it was signed by scientists, conservationists and African community leaders, with the International Union for Conservation of Nature saying it risked reversing conservation gains and undermining the livelihoods of rural communities in parts of Africa.
Trophy hunting really isn't a significant threat to any species, actually. And in this debate, it's one of the most frustrating things that's come out to my mind is this real misconception of the things that we see most on social media, the things that look the worst in the papers, that people get the most angry and irate about sitting as they read over their morning coffee, are not necessarily reflective of the major conservation threats that we see in the field.
Professor Amy Dickman heads up the Wildlife Conservation Research Unit at the University of Oxford. She's also joint CEO of Lion Landscapes, a conservation and research organisation in Africa.
The things really driving biodiversity decline are things like habitat loss primarily, and also issues like poaching, for example. And these major factors are really driving species to extinction.
And it was brought to lots of people's attention, wasn't it, back in 2015, with that photo that was on the front pages of lots of newspapers of Cecil the Lion, and he had been killed by this American dentist in Zimbabwe. And I think what was more shocking, perhaps, was that it was perfectly legal in Zimbabwe.
I was quite surprised how many people didn't realise that trophy hunting is legal and still continues extensively, including here in the UK. It has major impacts, obviously, on the hunted lions. It can have negative impacts on populations of lions, including around places like Wangi, where at that time the quotas were too high. What is threatening lions are things like the loss of prey, killing lions, things like snares, human-wildlife conflict, and a primary thing to all wildlife is the maintenance of habitats. And trophy hunting, as horrible as it can look, can actually help provide revenue, provide incentives for governments, for other landowners to maintain wild habitats and tolerate dangerous species like lions. So there's a real risk in actually reacting to images, horrible images of that, you know, dentist posing with the dead body of Cecil and saying we must ban it. Because what you're very likely to have then is that those areas get less economically valuable. People convert them maybe to farmland, to cropland, to livestock keeping, and then people will snare lions, will poison them. No one will see those pictures on the front of the Daily Mail or the Evening Standard or whatever, but we will see them in the field. And those deaths are horrifying, awful, and far worse in terms of conservation and welfare, actually, than most trophy hunting deaths are. I don't feel that we should be having complex, difficult decisions made by what a celebrity thinks. You know, during the COVID lockdowns, when we all had those daily briefings, I never saw Judi Dench or Ricky Gervais up there and people saying, well, what do you think we should do at the daily briefings? They always talked to the people who had a really good understanding of the complexities of the topic. And conservation deserves no less than that.
Let's talk about wildlife conservation then. What does it involve? And how much money is needed, you know, to make a difference in African communities?
Significant amounts of funding. So for lions, for example, there's at least $1 billion a year, probably more like $2 or $3 billion a year required for effective lion conservation just in the protected areas, the national parks, the game reserves where they occur. And at the moment, we've got a shortfall of at least $600 million, probably close to $1.5, maybe $2 billion, a shortfall of that, which means that most protected areas are not able to be well managed. People don't realise that actually phototourism, trophy hunting, donor aid and state aid all combined together are still nowhere near sufficient for effective conservation.
What evidence do you have or you know about that trophy hunting is actually helping conservation?
I hate the idea of trophy hunting. You know, I love animals. My whole career has been about reducing wildlife killing. But from the realities of being on the ground, when you fly over these areas, when you see the vast amounts of wildlife habitat that are protected under trophy hunting areas, it really reinforces the scale that most people aren't able to see when they engage in this just from, say, a Twitter debate. One of the analyses did show that around a fifth more land was actually protected under trophy hunting areas than under national parks. So given that habitat loss is the main threat to wildlife, we should really be acting very, very carefully before we undermine a business model for land that actually protects more land, more wildlife habitat than national parks do. And if the UK doesn't like trophy hunting, then what the UK should do is ban it domestically. And I think many people don't realise that we export tens of thousands of trophies. In the village land that I've worked on in southern Tanzania, the level of lion killing there was between 50 and 100 times higher than would be permitted in a trophy hunting area. And horrible killings, poisonings, snarings, spearings, pregnant females, young cubs. You would have the bycatch of critically endangered vultures. You know, we would go along and find 6 dead lions and a mound of critically endangered vultures, all killed from one poisoning event. So I think our focus should be not just looking at one cause of death like trophy hunting. we should really be cognizant of the fact that if we take that away with no better alternative in place, then you're going to end up with more of those kinds of killings.
But what do you think would be alternatives to trophy hunting?
If all the groups who hate trophy hunting are campaigning against it, if they funded the maintenance of these areas, then we wouldn't be having to have this discussion. But that's not happening. You know, in Tanzania, in 4 years after the US import bans, we saw that half of Tanzanian hunting blocks went vacant. And we're seeing more illegal wildlife use in those places. We're seeing more habitat loss. All these threats are coming because there is no better alternative stepping in. So what we are working hard on as other partners is trying to think of new conservation models. Things like biodiversity credits could be one way, for instance, where the richer countries actually pay the poorer countries who tend to have more of the biodiversity for maintaining that biodiversity, but offsetting the costs that are imposed on local people. And I think we need to develop those new, more resilient, more equitable conservation models first. And then if people decide that those are outcompeting things like trophy hunting, we'll be in a much stronger position to actually have the removal of trophy hunting, if that's what's desired, but in a place that doesn't undermine conservation rights and animal welfare.
Maxie Pia-Louis is concerned import bans by Western countries could indirectly harm conservation.
I can see that certain decisions are going to take us 50 years back if we are not careful in the way we do things. And I'm just very worried that by the time we open up our eyes, we might not even have one single elephant, a lion, a leopard left. And that will be the saddest day of our lives, that we try to have a goal of saving something, but in actual fact, we killed it off.
My thanks to our guests and you for listening to the Sky News Daily with me, Leah Bellesso. This episode was produced by Annie Joyce. Our editors, Philly Beaumont.